from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What does Caleb Williams, as a rookie captain, tell you about the player and the Bears' plan of naming him their starter, basically before even drafting him? Who gets most credit, Williams or the team overlords?
Well, the overlords always get their credit. I mean, they did lay it out, and they made it so that Caleb Williams was the starter and was the guy from even before they drafted him. But it was the right thing to do, and I think it's reflected in the fact that Caleb Williams gets the credit because he's come in, and he's been everything and more, and he works really hard, and he's been a really good teammate, and I think that the reflection that people are voting for him would suggest that. Now, did they have to expand the captaincy to a point where they can make sure they got him in? I don't think that's the case. I'm just making a joke. But it's great to see him as a team captain because he is. The quarterback automatically is a team captain. I think it reflects really well on him and the hard work he's put in. I also think it reflects well on the team they put together, the team that understands that you sink or swim based on how well the quarterback plays, and that he has to be that player in order for the team to win. And rather than be jealous of a guy, you embrace it and you follow his lead a little bit, right? That's a reflection on a good football team. But that's kind of what you expected. I'm not surprised in any way that he is a team captain, and I think it reflects well on both the decision to take him and the way they cleared the decks for him.
Well, the bigger news would have been is if we woke up this morning and they had 7 captains and Caleb Williams was not one of them. That would have been unbelievable news. This is not shocking in any way, shape, or form. Almost always the quarterback is the captain of the ball club. But it does, listen, the guy, everything you've read, everything you've heard, this sounds like the guy that is one of the first ones in and the last ones out, which they always like to talk about. This guy eats, sleeps, breathes football. So those are all good things. I wonder, now that they're in the third year, though, of Matt Eberflus, if we're also, on top of having 8 captains, which is probably too many, are they also going to have the revolving, this guy is the special captain of the week because of some tie-in, he's a former Titan. I don't think we have to worry about that with the former Titan right guard. He won't be a captain this week. But, will that guy be a captain based on some tie to the team that they've done in years past?
Yeah, he answered that question by saying he had thought about it, but he hadn't really decided whether he was going to, but it wasn't something he sounded like he was going to do.
Still TBD?
Yeah, probably still TBD, or maybe that was a kind way of saying, no, not this year. This is significant because if it were so obvious, I think it would have happened before because the Bears have started rookie quarterbacks, not the beginning of the season, but this is the first one ever. This is the first one in their history. So that is significant. What it does to me is it reflects well in the organization because they decided from the beginning never to treat him like a rookie.
Yeah.
They were not going to worry about proceeding too fast. They named him the starter. They didn't play games. They grasped the obvious and leaned into it. This is an exceptional young man. This is a natural leader. He has people skills galore. So this is all reflected in the vote, which I don't think was rigged. The vote, which I think reflected the way the team feels about Caleb Williams. They understand that this is a quarterback that doesn't fear, pressure. Really doesn't react negatively to it yet. He's yet to experience adversity. He'll encounter that. But what we have seen is that he seems unfazed by being the franchise quarterback in a passionate football city, and none of this stuff is going to overwhelm him. So the Bears, to their credit, never really had to give him any kind of orientation process. They never did any of the silly rookie shenanigans. They said, Caleb Williams, come here, save us. You are our starter, and now you are our captain.
I think, though, it's also interesting the way you put that. You don't think that they fixed it. Because there are occasions where teams will stuff the ballot box to make sure that the right guy is a captain. That's happened previously. I don't see it here. I think what we're saying is that the guy's a natural leader.
If you trade for a quarterback, it's very difficult with the chemistry mix. You can't have him not be the captain.
Right.
But you could go forward if your rookie quarterback is not the captain of your football team. People might have shrugged, or I don't think it would have been as big of a story. Well, you would have wondered. I don't think it would have been, Dustin. I think that you would have said, well, he's a rookie. They're trying to proceed cautiously. I think this says they're not worried about any of that stuff. They're moving on with the way that he, you know, they believe in his ability to handle this stuff.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. this morning. How big is the opener? Does it mean more to the Bears than it does to the Titans? I know it's very early in the week, and we can revisit this, but is this a must-win game for a franchise that enjoyed a wildly successful offseason?
I think this definitely means more to the Bears than it does the Titans. One team has been the national darlings of the offseason, and the other plays in Nashville. I don't think the Bears can afford to lose this game and keep this wild wave of enthusiasm going. It would definitely be deflating, and we would definitely overreact, and we would question the wisdom of calling this a playoff caliber roster and a playoff team and all the things that happened during an overreaction Monday. I do think it definitely means more to the Bears than the Titans, and that's why it feels like to me a game they have to win, a game they have to win to justify so much of the talk. We'll get to what Ryan Poles had to say about his role in all of this. We have heard Matt Eberflus talk about his role in all of this. The arrival of Caleb Williams means all that it does because of what's possible. But now you've got to deliver. That's the thing. You can't just talk the talk. You've got to back it up. And Sunday becomes an opportunity to do that for the first time, and then they have to do it again. So, yeah, it feels like it's very, very big. It's bigger to the Bears than it is the Titans. And I think that you're going to see a team that responds to that urgency with an intensity that reflects that. If they don't, we'll be all over them on Monday morning.
Yeah, this is a must win. There is no doubt about that. And there's a great piece of audio that we'll get to eventually from Jalen Johnson talking about all the expectations and all the fanfare and all the hoopla and what that does inside of a locker room. It's huge for the Bears. They're all big. I mean, you play 17 of these things. They all matter. And that's why, you know, people say with baseball, it's just one game. It's just a four-game losing streak. Well, you can't have a two-game losing streak and a three-game losing streak in the NFL or your season is done. If the Bears hope to be in the conversation for a wild card berth in the postseason, this is a win they must get.
Oh, yeah, this is a must-win for the Bears, much more so than Tennessee. In fact, Tennessee is kind of a team with limited expectations. You know, are they capable of winning the game? I mean, it's the NFL, man. You know, you pretty much can expect everyone to be capable of doing anything on a given Sunday. It's difficult to win outright on the road in an away playoff game. Feels like a playoff for the Bears. I think the expectations are so much higher for the Bears, and this would be so much more damaging for the Bears. You know, the coach needs to win the game, frankly. He needs to prove that he can coach a team that's favored in a game to a win at home to open the season. And I think that he will. I'm not really doubting any of that, but I'm just saying there is a lot of expectation on the line and a lot of kind of hopes and dreams and promises and things that need to happen. I don't know, you know, I don't know that they need to cover per se. I mean, I think they'd be great if they did, but they need to win this game. If the Bears don't come out of this game with a win, it will be a blow to the season. It'll be a blow to the hopes and dreams and expectations. So they got to take care of business, as simple as that. They should be able to win the game, and they need to do so.
Oh, boy, good question.
Coach Wanstead, he's here at 744, two big segments. Don't forget to watch that on Twitch. We'll know more after practice on Wednesday when the Bears will submit their first official injury report of the season. But right now, it looks like running back Roschon Johnson, defensive tackle Zach Pickens are unlikely to play Sunday after missing the first day of prep yesterday. But of the four players limited yesterday, can you please rate their indispensableness in order? Montez Sweat, Keenan Allen, Tevin Jenkins, or Ryan Bates?
I'll go with that order. I think that Montez Sweat is a very essential piece of this team. I think Keenan Allen has a chance. Now, you need one of Jenkins or Bates, but I would say you need Jenkins more than Bates. I would go in that order. I think maybe you could get by without Keenan Allen because you got Roma Dunze, because DJ Moore is so good. But I think Keenan Allen needs to get going here too. I think he needs to get started. I'll say that in terms of how indispensable these players are, Montez Sweat is the most indispensable, followed by Keenan Allen, and then one of the two, I would say Jenkins over Bates.
Well, Montez Sweat's an interesting name, and I'd run this back to our first question. I think it's interesting that Montez Sweat is not a captain on this team. And I think it's interesting that Montez Sweat has practiced about three times. Okay, and we've talked about it. No, nothing to worry about. No big deal. All he's got to do is get out there, put his hand in the dirt, and go get the quarterback. But kind of interesting that he's out Monday of game week. He's not mentioned as the captain of the team, even though arguably he's the best player on defense, needs to be the best player on defense.
And he's a highly self-motivated guy that seems like
we've read about that, yeah. that he heard him say that he coming from the Commanders, what a disaster that was, and now he's got a full year, you know, offseason under his belt as a Bear, what that's going to mean. But I find that interesting. I think the order is correct. I really do. But I'm still worried about the center position for the Bears. So I hope somehow Ryan Bates is in there. That guy who they've got in there right now, he didn't do a whole lot for me. He kind of gets thrown around a little bit, in my opinion. But we'll see.
Yeah, if they don't have Roschon Johnson and Zach Pickens on Sunday, I don't know what they're missing, because I don't know that either player has distinguished himself to tell us what they've had. So those are guys that need to get healthy so they can make a contribution, so they can be missed if they're not there. As it is, I don't know if you can miss what you never had. And I don't think they've had steady contributions from either guy. Good depth pieces, but if they don't play, I'm not going to change my prediction. As far as who's indispensable, Montez Sweat's absence from the eight captains was significant to me. I thought it was something that stood out. When you have Kevin Byard, who's been here 5 minutes, who gets more votes if it's a team-wide vote than Montez Sweat, who led two teams in sacks last year and is clearly your best defensive player, it makes you wonder a little bit about things. Maybe it's no big deal. But Jalen Johnson, two secondary guys and two linebackers. I get the linebackers. TJ Edwards is a tremendous leader, and Tremaine Edmonds seems like he's that kind of a guy as well. Montez Sweat, though, is the heart and soul of that defense, and he's not a captain. He still is the most indispensable player, though, on this team of those four. And then I think it's Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins, when healthy, is a difference maker at offensive guard in terms of giving them security, giving them a feeling of they can be a physical offensive line. Keenan Allen, not going to take anything away from him, but if he's not there, you still have two other very good options at wide receiver. And then Ryan Bates, I don't know what they have yet. I think that they really were missing him and valuing him because they're telling us that he's valuable because they've pursued him in the last several off seasons. But have we really seen him play? So he would be bottom of the list. I think Tevin Jenkins and Montez Sweat have to play, and they're very important to this team.
If you wanted to swap in a captain, Montez Sweat, who would you replace among the defensive players?
I think all of them are good linebackers or good leaders, the linebackers especially. This is a high-character locker room. But I just don't know, with due respect to Kevin Byard, we don't know yet how well he's going to play. We don't know yet what he has left in the tank. And we know that he has not played. His next game will be his first game representing the Chicago Bears. Montez Sweat has been here half of a season, but it's a half a season longer than Kevin Byard, so probably him.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
As a leader, I think you shy away from those questions.
That is the voice of Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer. He's here at 9 with Mully and Haw. Which was harder to take for the Cubs, blowing a 3-0 lead in the 8th to the Pirates over at Wrigley Field, or the surprising news postgame where Justin Steele was scratched from tonight's start after last night's gut-wrenching loss?
Both are painful. Both are very painful. Justin Steele's not starting tonight? I thought it was Steele and Skeens, and that was going to match up with the Aces, and that was going to be marquee television on Marquee. And here on the score. I don't know which is worse, but that was awful to watch Jorge Lopez blow that lead, even though it was the right move to go to him, even though they have scored a ton of runs, and you forgive the offense because, my goodness sakes, has that offense been so hot on the road trip. So hot that they scored 99 runs in the previous 10 games, 34 more than any other team since August 22nd. And then they scored 3 last night. I'll say the loss because of what it means to the standings in the calendar. You rip another page and you make another X on a day in Craig Timber, and there's only 27 days left. And come on, you can't lose these games against the Pirates. You got the Yankees and the Dodgers right around the corner. Justin Steele, according to people post-game reporting this and talking about this in a clubhouse, is only maybe a one-time thing, but they saw it last time he was out, according to Dustin, who picked that up. We'll hear that later. Both are terrible. One is worse, and that was the loss.
See, I'm going to disagree. It's Justin Steele by a landslide because right now I feel like he's done. I feel like he's shut down. I feel like that's it for Justin Steele. That's how I feel at 6:17 in the morning. I don't feel good about it. I didn't like the loss, of course. And to your point, David, also, after the 2 games they have remaining with the Pirates, the next 6 are the Yankees and the Dodgers. Right. The best 2 teams, the teams that Fox and everybody is hoping play each other for the World Series. So that will not be easy. But without Justin Steele, Cubs season is over.
Yeah, I think you might be getting a step ahead there, Dustin, and I hope you're getting a step ahead. I don't argue that, though. I think if you lose Steele at this point, that would be a real blow. That would really, really impact your chances the rest of the way. So I can understand the concern. You're going to lose games. You're going to lose. We've seen them lose games in the 8th inning. It happens. It's not, the problem with this, they were creating this feeling of invincibility. They were creating this feeling that they were going to score 10 plus runs every time they went on the field. And with the 3-0 lead, you felt comfortable. They just need to get six more out. What? Wait a minute. What happened?
I know.
It was just, this has not been going that way. You know, they've been the team that has been having the beginning. So that was a little bit disconcerting, but I hope to God Justin Fields or Justin Steele is okay. I really hope he's okay. And, you know, maybe we can ask Jed about that. If there was really bad news, I think, you know, we need to know it.
Different question on a different topic.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He'll be with us at 8:44 with a trip around the NFL. Is White Sox pitcher Chris Flexen winless in his last 20 starts? 0-10 with 10 no decisions in that stretch, a victim or part of the problem? Should he remain in the starting rotation for the 31-108 White Sox, or does it simply not matter either way?
Oh, it definitely doesn't matter, but I would add Chris Flexen to the list of players that I never want to see again. That's not meant as an insult to him.
Oh, I can't see why he'd take it
that
way.
I'm just saying, there are a lot of Sox players that are on my list of guys I just never want to see again.
Who's at the top?
I'm not going to sit here and pick nit with you, but probably some players that you wouldn't suspect would be high in the order.
Give an example.
Well, I mean, that's a different question. We're talking about Chris Flexen.
Who you never want to see again.
I never want to see him.
At all.
There's a lot of people that I never want to see again connected to the White Sox, but I would say Chris Flexen is just one of them. Not blaming him, not pointing out anything, but yeah, I've seen him pitch, and I've seen what happens when he pitches, and it's not his fault because this is the worst team ever assembled, but you know, there are probably some guys where you'd be like, really? And I'd say, oh, yeah. And then you'd say, well, that's wrong. And I'd say, I don't care if you like Andrew Vaughn. I just don't ever want to see him again. That's just kind of the way
Vaughn-y
I feel
took
about
a stray.
The White Sox.
Wow.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying as an example.
He had the night off. He didn't do anything yesterday. Leave him alone.
Let him have the rest of the nights off.
Did you see that lineup yesterday?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Why is Luis Robert Jr. taking the day off?
I mean,
he rests between innings. He takes naps in the field. Sorry.
That lineup, that was – here's the thing.
Did you happen to see what Aloy said?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay.
Happy to be playing with a winner and a contender.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good to be having important games.
The stats are kind of startling, despite the fact the Sox picked up loss 108 yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. But 20 starts and 10 no decisions and 0 for 10, like, wow. Here's the real, if Chris Flexen is in the starting rotation for your White Sox next year, now you got a problem. Okay, now you got a problem.
No, they already have a problem.
There's no way he's part of the rotation next year, guys.
He just said if he is,
you got a real problem.
No, he can't be. You have to. This is somebody you have to blot from your memory. You have to erase from your recorded history.
You want to see
Chris the F word, Flexen? Okay, you can't have him part of things. It's not his fault.
No,
it's not all his fault.
Not all.
His first 10 starts were actually pretty respectable. But this guy now has this claim to infamy. It's not fame. This is infamy. I can't believe that he has been winless in 20 starts. But, you know, that is just the beginning of a list of numbers and statistical anomalies that make you like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this has all happened to the same team in the same season. This is as forgettable as it comes. That's why it's historic.
You know, maybe that's a very good question moving forward for a pick six. Is there any player you'd like to see again ever?
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
And that's why they haven't called up Colson Montgomery, because you still want to keep him.
How was he?
He was great.
Yeah?
Just great.
Big Indiana schoolboy legend.
I did make the connection.
Yeah, I did.
You know I did.
What was your biggest surprise about the first weekend of the college football season, and what are the images, the games, or the highlights that stand out the most to you?
Well, we talked about this in the opening. This is a fantastic opening weekend for college football. What I will remember most about it, or what struck me the most as significant, was Notre Dame looking the part. Notre Dame going on the road in a hostile environment, and I don't care about preseason rankings, but A&M was 20th, Notre Dame was 7th, and Notre Dame looked like a top five team. They backed it up. Domers always talk big in August. They backed it up. And Marcus Freeman definitely had a moment. And Riley Leonard wasn't great. The offensive line was. They pounded Texas A&M. They hit him in the mouth. And A&M really didn't handle it. So Notre Dame going into College Station and winning. The Big Ten only losing one game. USC beating LSU to the point where Brian Kelly has a little hissy fit after the game, pounding the fist.
Was that it?
Not throwing his players under the bus, surprisingly. That's his bad habit. And then, you know, Northwestern on the lakefront. That stadium really intrigues me. It looks so cool. And they did what they needed to do. Good for Northwestern. Good for David Braun. He's a likable guy. And so I just love the return of college football. There were a lot of things happening nationally. There's a lot of fun stuff going on locally. NIU at Notre Dame Saturday is fun for those guys. But overall, Notre Dame delivering on its promise early, setting up a fun season ahead.
Well, my biggest surprises were unfortunate surprises. The opening weekend of college football, 1 week without the NFL involved with your football weekend after coming up now. The first game, 11 a.m. kick down in Atlanta. We've got Georgia-Clemson. That first half was awful. And the second half was only good if you were a Georgia fan. Then that goes into Florida-Miami. I didn't realize how good Miami was. Look out for Miami. They might be a team that you don't want to play. So that was, I thought, something. Like, they're back. The U is back. And if they're buying the players, well, guess what? That's legal now. Okay? So, and then to David's point, everything you said on the Irish was absolutely spot on, and I could not believe I woke up this morning and Florida State was 0-2.
I gotta tell you, like, there was one of the takeaways for me is that Clemson and Florida State won out of the ACC. Maybe you ought to let them leave. They were awful. They've made life difficult for a friend of ours. Get lost. Be better. They were terrible.
Terrible.
It was great to see Clemson get stuffed, wasn't it?
Poor Dabo. That was fun.
Yeah. Whatever.
Stuck in 2016.
Yeah, you can't get out of it. But that you know, the Big Ten jumps out is just great stuff from the Big Ten. I thought Ohio State, Penn State, there were some good Big Ten performances. Oregon, not as good as I thought they were going to be, but it's very early. Alabama. You know, they did okay for themselves. Again, hard to tell. In the early goings, you know more about who's bad than who's good. How about Dylan Raiola making his debut for Nebraska and, you know, very celebrated quarterback. Looks pretty good for
himself. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, did well for himself. I think that Florida stands alone. You know, my sister-in-law teaches at Florida, and my brother is down there, and his kids went there, two of the three. Oh my gosh, that is a disaster. Florida, a train wreck. You just can't understand how much that hurts those people in Gainesville to see that team as bad as it is. And man, that's bad. That is not good, and it's not getting better.
You hire the wrong guy, and you're going to
he looks awful.
Feel that.
Yep.
He no looks question. Overwhelmed. That
totally
program
overmatched.
Looks like a different place.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's an element of, like, what did we get ourselves into?
Yeah, you're right. There's no doubt about that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.